Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to gain classy.
And we have video.
Hello. That's weird. It's telling me that I shouldn't be broadcasting video, but I'm broadcasting video.
I don't know what to tell you. I can see your gorgeous face.
Hey.
It's been so long, Steve, and I can't even recognize you.
I know. It's been an age.
I was just thinking that we haven't actually recorded in person since pre-pandemic. It's been 4.5 years at this point.
That's true. Yeah, we were early adopters of the online format.
Yes, we were. There you go. I lost you. I lost your beautiful face. Oh no.
No, I'm gone.
So we got a lot to talk about today.
Columbo? Are we going to talk about Columbo? Can we just scrap everything and become a Columbo podcast?
Just our new podcast, One More Thing, the Columbo podcast. If that's not already a podcast, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, just One More Thing is a great name for a Columbo podcast.
A Columbo rewatch. It sounds like something that some washed up comedians would have to just try to remain relevant because they can't get any other jobs.
Isn't that just a podcast?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, okay.
I mean, we have jobs. It's just they're just not as entertaining as a podcast. We're not truly entertainers in our other jobs.
Right.
I'm a low-level bureaucrat, Steve. No, I take that back. I'm a mid-level bureaucrat. you're a wage slave.
Yeah, sure. We'll go with that.
Sure, why not?
We'll go with that. We're all wage slaves, but sure. Yes,
I haven't watched any good horror movies lately and or television that I would want to talk about in lieu of miniatures. So
I see.
Yeah. I mean, Joe Bob's starting up this weekend, so maybe I'll have some good stuff then. But
oh yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, they're doing the Corman double feature, which was the Jamboree. So we'll see what's up there for that one. But I do see that there's a possibility of him doing Deathstalker this season, which I'm super excited about.
Isn't that like a shitty sword and sorcery movie?
Yes.
Right?
Yes. But it's on Shudder for some odd reason. And Deathstalker 2 might be one of my favorite sword and sorcery 80s movies of all time.
It's because it's is it a Corman? Is Deathstalker Corman?
No, I believe Deathstalker, I'm not 100% sure on it, but I think it might be a canon.
Okay. I was figuring because I know they have like at one point they had every single Corman movie on Shudder.
Yes. I just like Deathstalker because it has Monique Gabriel, who is like my 80s, 90s crush. And it has my favorite opening line of all time, which is, I'll get you and Deathstalker 2. And then the Deathstalker 2 logo pops up.
That's awesome.
It's too good of a line for the 90s or 80s. You know, it's too good for that. Like whoever did that traveled back in time to create that. Probably me. I went back in time just so I could write that line.
You did it.
I did it.
Deathstalker 2.
All right, Joe, you have all the power of time travel. What are you going to do with it?
I've got to make sure Deathstalker 2 is named correctly.
Yes. You know what? There's worse uses of time travel. I'll say that.
Yeah, I'll say so.
Yeah. All right. So,
I also really like their orcs in Deathstalker. They're like garbage looking. They're great.
Oh yeah, they're completely garbage looking.
But they're great.
Oh, absolutely. It's 80s sword and sorcery movies are wonderful because, and I figured it out, it's because they filmed on actual film. You will never get an 80s style action sword and sorcery movie like that ever again because they all film on digital and digital looks like shit.
Mm. Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, so if you actually film on like 16 millimeter or 32 millimeter film, it's gonna look awesome, even if the movie is terrible. And
that checks out.
They have those epic like soundtracks, those like crazy symphonic soundtracks that were done by Italian composers.
Well, also they can't use crappy CGI; they had to use crappy practical effects. Which, even at their worst, crappy practical effects still look better than crappy CGI.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. The thing is we just have to find a country that's still developing enough that we could film in that country and get uses of the resources for cheap.
Isn't that just Georgia?
Yeah, we could or oh, you mean the United States, Georgia?
Yes.
I was thinking the former Soviet Republic of Georgia.
No, not the former Soviet Republic of Georgia.
I bet you if we could go to the former Soviet Republic of Georgia and film there.
Probably.
It's a little iffy. We might have to dodge landmines, but we could go there.
We'll make it.
You film in Tbilisi. No, it's okay. We're not going to film. No, you film in Tbilisi.
You are filming already. What? How did this camera get in my hands?
Exactly. Exactly. All right. We should do that someday. Just do an overview, which would just be me talking about the Barbarians for like 30 minutes, because that's one of my favorite ones of that entire genre.
The Barbarians is great.
Yeah. They're in my D&D campaign, the Barbarian Twins. I put them in my D&D campaign.
Do you have that weird looking, not Paul Rubens guy who looks like Paul Rubens as part of the caravan?
Oh yeah, he's like the wizard guy, right? Or like a magician or something. Oh, he was like an acrobat, I think.
Yeah,
but yeah. I should have him on there.
It's so funny. Like that guy's not Paul Rubens, but if you told me he was Paul Rubens, I'd be like, oh okay.
Yeah, I have for the rest of chapter 4 of Tyranny of Dragons, I'm printing out a full caravan right now, so I should probably put him in there.
You absolutely should.
Yeah,
I feel it's necessary.
By the way, update on the campaign. We did be at the last podcast. The team got to the non-union necromancer, and there was a big debate whether or not to kill the necromancer. The necromancer offered the team money, and he said, look, man, the dwarf guy is the guy hiring scabs. He's the true enemy of all of us. I'm just the hired help. And then, but part of the team was very angry that he broke the deal regardless. So there was a big split in the party about what to do about it. And it was like a seriously like heated debate for 5 minutes on my on my table about what to do about this. And it was the most perfect thing I could have ever asked for as a DM.
That's awesome.
Yes. But they ended up taking the money and then setting the brewery on fire.
All right. Nice.
Yeah. So the and I have to say that the giant skeleton was a bad move on my part. It almost TPK'd the party. I was like, ooh, gotta be careful there. I mean, it was good enough because it almost TPK'd the party, which is kind of what you want for D&D. You don't want them to TPK the party, you just want to scare the party enough.
Yeah, almost TPKing is, you know, that's always pretty good.
Yeah, I have to say the almost TPK is true Dungeon Master chef's kiss.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. Well, I don't know. That's one of the reasons I like the older editions, is because it's like the older. So here's the thing. I was thinking about it, and this is a weird. This is kind of, you know what? This is just a weird tangent. But I was thinking about like why like character power creep happened so much, and like there's like some like characters are so much more powerful than used to be, and also how much longer it takes to make characters than it did before. And I think that actually shifted to this situation where like nobody like people are always like, oh, my character can't die, like characters can't die, like you can't kill characters, like you can't. And I think it's because the game's gotten more complicated over the years, and actually mechanically creating a character has gotten more complicated over the years. So it, and they got rid of the most important factor. Well, for me, because I'm a fucking storyline dork, but they got rid of the reasoning as to why a sudden replacement character would show up. And what I mean is that they've completely obliterated the concept of the camp followers for.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
For D&D. So, like, example, in AD&D 2E, you're doing a dungeon crawl, right? And let's say you've got five players, two of the players die in the dungeon, and three players make it out. The whole concept is like there's like a whole shit ton of like peasantry and other warriors or like various people that are following your adventuring group. Like you actually are supposed to have like a bunch of NPCs following you guys around. And they're your camp followers. And that's where you get, you know, like hirelings, so on and so forth. And then hirelings are also something that like nobody uses in D&D anymore. And that was the other thing that made you gave you an instant character to take over for. And that's what, and I literally think that that change in like game design slash like game feel has resulted in this thing where like characters aren't supposed to die, and like it's really bad for characters, and like it's kind of softened encounters and softened like the gameplay. And I'm not like, you know, characters should die every fight, but like I think that there's like a, there's a very accepted unspoken or maybe even spoken thing where like players do not expect their characters to die unless they have approved that their character is going to die.
Okay. I could see that. I just created the gem of transportation. So every time I need to, that's like my Deus Ex Machina. Every time I need something to pop up, that's what's happening.
Nice.
It's a gem that they have no idea how to activate.
And that's great.
Yes. So basically, if I need to, they can pop in and out. But I actually gave them an out for this new this midpoint in chapter 4. So because Baldur's Gate, they have to like, it's kind of a good like stopping point for some characters, and I'm allowing them to switch characters at this point because they're going to be hired on as caravan guard. So might as well, like, there's probably going to be lots of caravan guard. So if they want to switch out for another caravan guard character, they can.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I figured that would be useful. But anyways, let's talk auction, Steve. Let's talk the Games Plus auction.
Let's talk the auction.
Joe got busted. No, I bought out. Like there was literally nothing I could buy at that auction.
Yeah,
the prices were so
wrecked.
So high. I could not believe it. The prices have gotten high in the past, but I've always been able to find a deal or two. Nothing. Not a single deal I was able to get.
And you got cooked?
I was cooked in 4 hours there. I bought not a single thing. I didn't bid on too much, but man. There were a couple pieces that I probably could have and would have gone for cheaper than eBay, but were still like way too expensive. Mm. One of them I really wanted to buy was an original 5th edition Thorgrim Grudgebearer, which was the guy on the Palanquin, you know, the Throne of Power. But it was the old one, the one that was a little more for the goofy dwarves. You remember that one? Then it was also the Anvil of the Anvil of Doom that
yes!
was on the wheels.
Yeah. Yes, and he was standing on the anvil, right?
Yes. So it's that same style.
Nice.
But that went for like $70, and I'm like, it's still cheaper than eBay, but it's way more expensive than I want to pay.
Yes.
So that's what I'm saying when I'm saying like the auction is too expensive nowadays. It's just that it's reasonable in terms of eBay prices, but everything is reasonable in terms of eBay prices most of the time because eBay is nothing but scum and villainy. So
sometimes you find good stuff on eBay, but yeah.
I don't know, man. I haven't seen anything good on eBay in forever.
So at this juncture, finding good stuff on eBay is generally like you can't find good hyped stuff on eBay anymore. Like before, when like video game collecting was newer, you know, you could be like, I found a great deal on blah 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 on eBay, blah, 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 so on, but that doesn't happen anymore. Like you do not find good deals on eBay for, you know, something like video game collecting anymore or old Warhammer. Like, I mean, even I couldn't believe some of the Warhammer fucking prices. Like they were crazy. Like
ridiculous.
Like, yeah, like legit. I was like, wait, what the fuck? So doesn't have anywhere. You can still find cool stuff on eBay.
I guess that's true. That's true. You can't find, if you're looking for something that is going to be popular like Warhammer, you will not find it.
Yeah, at least not for, I mean, you'll find it, just not at a good price.
Yeah, not at a good price. And by good price, I mean like I don't even know. Like some of this stuff is so fucking expensive. Individual models for $20. It just like, and I'm talking like a Tomb Guard model for $20.
Yeah, no, they're ridiculous.
Yeah, and then they wonder why are these metal recasters making so much money?
Or why are there so many of them?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the reason. And we'll get into that in a little bit later. But I wanted to finish with the auction. It was pretty standard in terms of what they had, you know, a lot of the normal stuff. There was nothing that I saw was like, holy shit, can you believe this? Mm-hmm. I think the thing that I'm kind of mad I didn't stick around to even bid on was the Death in the Dark box set. I put it up on the Discord chat. Do you remember Death in the Dark?
Isn't that an expansion?
I don't think it was an expansion. It might have been. Let me see. But I was like, I was so close because it's such a staple of, like, if you went to a if you went to any game store in the 2000s.
No. I had to look it up. I remember now.
I was going to send you a picture of it. Yeah.
I remember now. Yeah. No. This was at every store.
Yeah. Every store had this. And it was so cool looking.
Yeah, it looks. It still looks awesome. I don't know. I don't. The cover makes absolutely no sense. The cover is like, it's like a hot big titty sorceress, like straight up magic lady. But then the character, which I assume is a protagonist character, looks like a dwarf aesthetically, like not tall, very very stocky, buff, gigantic beard, but he's got a Kaiser helmet. Like World War One,
good old pickle helm.
Yeah, and then he's wielding like a laser blaster or like a flamethrower.
I think that's a flamethrower more than anything.
Yeah, so like it's like, what the fuck is this game? And yes, there is legit a model of that guy in the game. There is a mini. It does not look as good as the cover art.
No,
but it's there. But yeah. It's a Hero Quest ripoff.
Yeah, it's Raphim. So, you know, it's got some old school minis in there.
Yeah, it's a super Hero Quest ripoff. The board looks just like the Hero Quest board. The walls are that same kind of like hard cardstock with the doors, so on and so forth. Yes, and the reason I thought it was an expansion is because it was supposed to be or was part of a system.
Okay.
It was supposed to be part of a like more than one thing. I don't remember what the hell it was. Oh, it's been so long. Hang on, let me look at the box. Okay, yeah. On the cover of the box, if you see in the bottom, it says it's part of the Universal Soldier System.
Ooh, Dolph Lundgren.
Yes, and that's a minis rule set, I guess.
But it's one of those. But it's part of, I think, our history as gamers. Like, this box set was at every game store.
Oh, absolutely.
And no one ever bought it because it was overpriced for what it was at the time.
Apparently the game's terrible.
Well, yeah, of course it's terrible. It's all games at that point were terrible. They just threw some shit together, some cardboard, and were like, here's your game. Play it, you fools, you idiots.
Yes.
You nerds. What are you going to do? Go on a date? I don't think so. But you're going to play this game solo.
So I might be out of my mind here, but upon looking for this, I believe you can still just buy this game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I just, you know, it was at the auction. So I was like, I kind of want to buy it at the auction.
I can't believe you can still just buy this game. That's the wildest thing I've ever seen. Listen here, folks. And what I mean, you can still just buy this game. I don't mean like you can just grab it on, you know, eBay or something. You can legit go on Raphim and you can buy this game from the mid 80s.
1998.
1998. My bad. I was way off. But yeah. Still, you can still just buy it. All right.
God, is this a good looking game?
They have additional box sets. Yeah, they have Dark Elves. They have I guess this is more of like a this is like a base game.
Yeah,
and then they did release a bunch of expansion like warbands for it.
It's so good,
man. Is this my Death in the Dark player arc? Is this where I become a Death in the Dark player and I start shilling it?
No, Joe. Seriously, it's a good It's a good system.
It's really good. It's in depth. It's in depth.
I do like, I'm on the Raphim page right now, and they have like bases, and one of their bases is Chicago sewer lids, and I kind of just want to buy a fuck ton of them. I don't know why, but I do.
It's pretty awesome.
I do like that. I think I bought some of these before because I think I used them in a Skaven army for base terrain. I remember having them. I remember the foul sewer London, England base. Nice. So I remember that. I thought that was so. Yeah, I think you need to get your Death in the Dark. I think you need to get into this.
Yep, I need to be. It's my Death in the Dark arc. It has
Death in the Dark arc. Death in the Dark.
The Death in the Dark, but spelled with a C. D A R C.
Yeah, D apostrophe A R C. The arc.
Yes, I do like the name of the or like the base game description. It comes with two sides: the Dwarven Prospectors versus the Veneer. And they're terrible spider minions.
Spider minions!
Yes, there's a spider minions.
Yay!
Yeah, so I guess this is actually like a warband versus warband game while you're going around inside of a map that looks like HeroQuest. That actually sounds kind of fun.
Yeah. Oh, no! Steve has fallen into the hole.
No!
Steve has fallen into the dark. I'm going to play the Reptiliad Utanith. That's who I'm going to play in this game.
Nice. I'm going to play the Skelebones.
You're going to play the Skelebones? Of course you're going to play the Skelebones.
Yeah.
God, Rafa models are simultaneously the worst and the best.
They really are. No. Like, legit. Like, dear listener, please. I hope you're looking at Rafam. That's R-A-F-M. Yes. With us while we wax poetic about these incredible minis. But yeah, that's that. They're models where you're like, God, that sucks. I want it.
That's a great way. That should be their tagline as a company. God, these suck, but I want them.
I want them. I mean, you do like the Death Knights on their page. The Death Knights, they're I think those are objectively goofy looking, but man, are they fucking dope. I really like them.
Their models look like something where I would love to buy their bulk Cthulhu models. Like if they had like a tub of Cthulhu models, like metal at a convention, I would like to stick my hand in there and just grab a bunch and throw them into a bag.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pay by the pound for them. But I would never pay individually for any of the models. I would buy in bulk and I would just be like, what the fuck did I get?
Yeah, I like it. No, I mean, I think... Oh, I figured it out. The word we're looking for is charm.
There is a charm to it.
There's a charm to their miniatures. And that's what it is. And 100%, it really is. It's like, because like, man, like, they're fun. They're fun looking.
Yeah, and they create those nice box sets.
Yeah, they're cool. Mm. They also have a Lich Magician, which is hysterical. A Lich Magician. Yeah. And when I say Lich Magician, I mean, it's a lich. But he's doing like a pulling a rabbit out of the hat trick. So, yeah, he's legit a magician.
All right. So yeah, the other stuff I saw at the auction that was there was so much Song of Ice and Fire stuff there, and I know that it's a running joke, but it's like, how does that game sustain itself when everybody is putting their shit out there so cheaply? I don't know.
You got me.
I know there was. There's always defenders. There was someone on the Discord defending it. And I'm sorry. It's one of our listeners, and I know. I know it's a regular one. I just can't think of whose name it was that was doing that up there. But they say that there was, I guess, one of the crates or one of the containers that was on the ship that contained the models got accidentally dumped into the ocean. So holy in shit. The ocean somewhere is a container full of the newer miniatures for A Song of Ice and Fire, which is why it took so long. And all those models, the older models were so around for such a long time, were because all of the better sculpts got lost in the ocean. So I guess somewhere in the ocean leading to our microplastic crisis is more Song of Ice and Fire rustic miniatures. They're going to be the downfall of our civilization, Steve. It's the reason why we have microplastics in our blood.
We are going to have... Well, it sounds like we have a quest now.
We got to get Matthew McConaughey circa Sahara to get it.
Yeah, we got to rescue those miniatures.
All right, team. Somewhere in the bottom of the ocean is a shipping container filled with over 12... $1 billion worth of miniatures. We're gonna get it.
It's just that little submarine that imploded.
Fuck those people. I mean, can you think of a worse way to go? being imploded in a submarine.
Imploded
with a bunch of rich people.
Imploded in a submarine with a bunch of rich people. I don't know. Did I lure them there as part of a trap? Because it sounds okay.
I mean, it sounds like a great revenge plot, right? Yeah,
that's the movie version. The movie version is like you set it up where it's a bunch of rich people and a dude who set up this trip to go down there, and the movie is mostly flashbacks while he's like talking to them.
And it's like the meal.
Yeah, it's like the meal. Right.
Yeah.
And then you know, then he reveals, yes, and by the way, enjoy the implosion.
I mean, the only thing that makes it sad for me is that it was instantaneous. Like, those people needed to suffer just a tiny bit, not too long, like 30 seconds of pure terror and then death.
Well, whatever.
I'll never get my revenge on the billionaire class.
This is true.
Yeah. So with the auction though, I made a killing.
She slapped on my op till I Heimer.
Yes. I made a killing. I made over $600 with a lot of that BattleTech stuff.
Nice.
So that was nice. I know you're a little disappointed that I won't be getting into BattleTech, but I'm okay with it.
My heart is broken.
Yes, exactly. God, that rule book. Jesus fucking Christ. How do people handle it?
The Alpha Strike one isn't bad.
And you keep saying that.
It's not. The Alpha Strike one is not bad. Like it's legit. So here's the thing about the Alpha Strike book. And I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, regular BattleTech players, you trigonometry guys, the rules stop at like fucking page 30. Like that game is almost all optional rules. So like the actual rules are like it's almost like a one page rule thing. It's like it is the shortest, easiest game to understand possible. Like I'm not even kidding. It's like a joke easy. Almost anytime you see them going into like really complicated sounding bullshit, it's because they're using optional rules. So anyway, carry on.
But aside from that, I didn't see a ton of old school stuff that I was like, ooh, fun, like metal. There was a couple cool bags and blisters and but there was nothing like Warhammer. I think a lot of people.
I figure everyone's holding on to their metal. Yeah.
Well, I think everyone is holding on to their fantasy right now because we're at that stage right now where fantasy is the new hotness. So no one wants to get rid of their hotness. They're like, no, I'm totally going to play the old world. And so we'll have to wait like, I don't know, 6-7 months before people realize that they're never going to play the old world for them to be like, OK, I'm done with it.
True.
And then they'll
true.
Drop it off.
No, that makes sense.
I mean, and that could actually lead to a second thing. And I was talking with you about this is how people are using Age of Sigmar models for for the old world because they can't get the old world models that they want.
Yes. Yes. I heard. I mean, and again, I would like to shill Mantic. They've got some good stuff.
But I think that's the bitter. I don't want to say irony because it's not really irony, but that's a very funny, maybe, as opposed to ironic twist on it, is that these people who are using very expensive Age of Sigmar figures to play the old world can literally find any number of proxy armies out there that they can use to play.
Well, presumably they already, like, I mean, I wouldn't be 100% making assumptions here, but like, let's just say, for example, I wanted to do the Age of Sigmar idea for my Warhammer army. I already have Age of Sigmar stuff, so like, I would just use what I already had. So I'm not buying anything.
I mean, yes, except to do the old world, you need a lot more models. I think. I mean, it depends. I've been playing the Age of Sigmar, so I don't really know what normal model content is for an army, but like, let's just say you're playing Lumineth for high elves, right? Or well, let's say you're using the new orcs and goblins for orcs and goblins for the old world. You need a lot of models. Like, you need at least 20 to 30 goblins, hobgoblins, and I don't know if an old world army in an Age of Sigmar army has that. Correct me if I'm wrong.
There's some big armies in Age of Sigmar, but like not really. They're definitely way smaller than a Warhammer Fantasy army. The only other thing I can think of is, you know, you're going to be using the middle six as filler. So you will need less models.
I mean, you still need 24 goblins.
Yeah.
If you're going to do that.
It's true.
And then don't get me started on the fucking meta for the old world already. I hate, it's like part of the reason why I stopped playing Warhammer Fantasy with these sweat lords.
God, I'm just making a cool looking army.
Me too. I'm with you on that. It's just
I'm never going to a Warhammer tournament, so I don't really care. So yeah, I'm just gonna make a cool army.
My favorite are the people who go on Facebook or Reddit and they say in very broken English, so you don't know if they're a child or if they're just foreign, going, "How make best army orcs?" That's all it is. New player for the old world, how do I make army that win?
Yeah, I figured they were just boomers.
Probably. No, boomers don't play fantasy. They're playing Napoleonics. Dude, I have yet to watch Napoleon, but the discourse around that movie is so funny. Because on one hand, you have like the theory that Ridley Scott made the movie purposely horrible to make fun of Napoleon because Ridley Scott's British and he's making fun of Napoleon. Which I like that concept. I mean, I love Napoleon as a historical figure. I think he's fantastic to read about. My favorite is when he wrote his wife, he's like, "I'll be home in 3 days. Don't wash." Don't wash. I was like, ew, but that's great. Good for you, Napoleon.
Yeah,
that is you. I'm not going to yuck your yum.
He came from nothing. He conquered everything.
He came from nothing and he conquered everything. But there's all.
That's surprising, right? Like that movie should have been an easy like slam dunk, right?
Oh yeah, but it's supposedly like really silly, and I'm like, I'm so excited to watch it. But the people who are like arguing about like Battlefield and shit like that, and it's like, you bunch of old boomers, like you just want to see Napoleonic.
Talking about the don't watch scene.
Yeah. It's like people don't care. Seriously, they're going to watch it and they're going to be like, oh, this is actually what Napoleon was like. And no one gives a shit.
Yeah,
they, cares. You know, people don't care about the historical aspect of it. Only people who care about that are people who grew up watching Sharps and they actually want to see Napoleonic battle that doesn't have all the soldiers who are 56-year-old overweight reenactors.
I thought they're all doing Civil War these days.
No, these are the British reenactors.
I see.
As someone who's listening to this podcast right now has a tear coming out of their eye based on what I just said.
One single tear.
A single tear just going, he's right, you know.
He's going to sniff it back up.
I just want to see Napoleonic reenactment. It's not an old fat guy.
Get back in there, tear.
Get back in there. Sucks it back in. Thinking of the queen. Have you heard about Kate Middleton and all these fake pictures that of her? Like she has disappeared from public view.
What?
She's like David Miscavige's wife. Miscavige's wife.
No, I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
I'm not going to go too into it, but I've been finding it very funny. Mainly because I don't like the monarchy. So,
well, I mean, the recent trend and slash uptick in celebrity body double conspiracies are fun. So, I mean, you can go with that.
Celebrity body double conspiracies. I don't know this, but I will look it up.
Yeah, it's just to like everyone's got a body double. Just like you could just go like body double conspiracies. I think that's that'd probably find it all for you.
Is this like how Avril Lavigne was replaced?
Yes. It's
old conspiracy. That's like old school 2000s conspiracy.
Yeah. Well, now it's popped up. It's popped up again, but now it's body doubles. It's all about body doubles.
Body doubles. I'm an overweight redhead with a beard and glasses. You guess what? I could go to any convention and find 16,000 doubles of myself.
It's true. You'd be very easy to body double.
I am very easy to body double.
Queen Doppelpopolis is ready to send her mediocre. She doesn't need to send her best.
Yes, I could put on a if I put on a trilby, then all of a sudden I just blend in.
I like it.
I'm like, it's like a heist, like literally like I'm stealing Pokemon cards and it's like you see me steal the cards and as the security is looking for me, they're like, we have eyes on him. I got eyes on him over in the corner. wait, I see him over in section B. No, he's in aisle 32.
And this is where the theme starts. The theme swells up and there's a bunch of yous.
And we're switching Trilbies as we're walking past each other, handing off the briefcase full of Pokemon cards.
Yes, yes. The Trilbies are switching. The briefcase is switching. They're like, and then it closes up. It does the fake out where like there's a hand with a briefcase. And then like you see the security guard wrist grab the hand and it pans up and it's not you. But he's got a briefcase.
The guy's like, stop touching me.
Yeah. yes.
And then another guy like sees me walk out the convention, and as he goes out, he just sees a like it's just a massive crowd of guys with Trilbies and, you know, overweight redheads with beards and glasses. Like,
I love it.
He's like, son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch. Boom, 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 boom.
Cut to me jumping off a dam with an American flag parachute.
Yes.
Perfect. Yes.
Exactly. Perfect. We've got the film, boys.
Cut and print.
They should give us a lot of money to do stuff.
No, are you kidding me? We're the type of people who they gave a lot of money to do stuff. We would be like Soda Pop Miniatures and just be like, yeah, we lost all the money. We're going bankrupt as a company.
Nah, man, we could do it.
Right? Soda Pop finally filed for bankruptcy. I'm never getting my Super Dungeon Explorer.
Yes, it's over. It's over for Soda Pop. It's never been more Jover.
Yeah, it's like we'll add them to the in memoriam reel for next year's Oscars.
In the arms of angels. Away from here.
And it's, oh god, and I like that company quite a bit. Their games are good. I like their minis. I thought everything they were doing was good. It's just they got too big for the britches.
There was a very unfortunate combination of circumstances, some within and some without of their control.
Yeah.
It's easy to armchair after the, you know, just the way, I mean, I think that's the real definition of hindsight being 2020, because it's very easy for me to armchair and be like, well, here's your mistake, idiots, why'd you do this thing? Like, you know, it's real easy to do that, but you know, at the time, you know, there's unforeseen, like they said, that there was that one part that they mentioned that I thought was pretty important, and maybe the most important lesson for anyone doing a Kickstarter, period, like legit, is where they said they did that thing where they released the rules and people hated them. And they were like, this fucking sucks. And they were like, all right, well, we heard your feedback. So we're going to delay and we're going to redo the rules. And everyone's like, fuck yeah. Like, you know, like that's great. You know, the fans were like super excited that they're, you know, they're getting the what they wanted. Cause you know, the rules sucked ass. That created literally butterfly affected into what happened now, because that created a delay that like they did when I've talked about it before with logistics and how the game side works, but like all delays are exponential. So like if something is delayed on a shipping container, like, or I shouldn't say it like that. If a carrier is delayed by 2 days with a shipping container, that ripples and gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And eventually what that boils down to is that your new booster series of your card game is now 2.5 months late.
Because of a two-day delay. And all of them, you got to think of the millions of dollars in
and then the costs go up.
Yeah.
Yep. And then the costs go up because suddenly it's the costs versus income also changes too, because you're going 2 more months longer without any of that income that you would have normally anticipated in that time frame.
Yep.
So that small decision that didn't seem like a big deal, likely, you know, like I said, created a huge effect. And then the one dude dead, like heart condition, it was bad. Not good.
Yeah. So that's why I said in memoriam 2024 Soda Pop Minis.
Yes.
Pour one out for your Super Dungeon Explorer.
Yes.
Yeah. And that $200 that you sunk into it that you're never getting back.
Well, I mean, if you thought you were still getting it back at this point, that's a little silly. Yeah.
When they said that, I was like, oh shit, I got like 100 some bucks in that I'm never getting back. Oh well. Fuck.
Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, like I said, like, I like, would I love for the Studio X painting system thing to like suddenly post an update that says, hey, we're shipping your stuff? Yeah, I would absolutely love that. That'd be great. Do I ever anticipate that happening? Hell no. Hell no. Mm. Yeah, and there's at least like two other Kickstarters I didn't get, but that's again, and I feel fucking weird about this. Every time this happens, anything like this happens, I'm always just like, when I throw money into Kickstarter, I throw the money in, and then after that point, I consider it a donation.
Yeah, I mean, I think about like all the Kickstarters that I've backed. It's like they're either by companies that I know I trust at this point, or it's like 3D printing Kickstarters where I know I'm just going to be getting the files. I'm not. That's it. So it's not like I'm not getting the files. Most of the time, those files are done before the Kickstarter even starts.
Yeah,
like I think there's very few Kickstarters that I've backed where I've ever been like, where I a risky Kickstarter, I should say.
Well, you never know. I mean, there's Kickstarters that promise the moon. Those are obviously risky, but like there's a lot that are just kind of like surprising ones, like oh shit, like, you know, like this doesn't seem like anything out of pocket or out of the ordinary, or it is a trusted company that suddenly, you know, has issues. But again, that's why I'm all in on the like, it's a donation. If I get it, great.
Yeah, speaking of, did you see that Horror on the Orient Express is dropping soon?
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, they're saying it's very, very soon. I don't have an actual date yet, but I'm excited for it. I'm going to get it.
Oh shit.
And actually, I don't know if you saw, but the Harry Knight Models dropped their new Harry Potter Kickstarter, Wizarding Duels.
Again?
Yeah. You wanna duel with your wand, Steve?
No, I actually don't. I'm good.
Do you remember there was that? It was like 10 years ago. It was really big that people were running around playing Quidditch in parks.
I do remember that. They were very much into the Quidditch.
I was kind of actually thinking about backing the Knight Models one for my daughter, because she's a big Harry Potter fan. And I was like, maybe I should just get her the core box. It's got, you know, Harry and Hermione and Ron and all that whole gang. But but it's just like, it's expensive. It's 400 euros for the all in.
That's expensive.
Yeah, I don't know if the models are that rustic or if they're going full metal models again, but
I don't know what they're currently doing, but they are, they were always metal, and they were metal in like long after the time where everyone was like, we're not doing metal anymore. The Knight was still metal.
Yeah.
Their Batman the Animated Series set is awesome.
That what?
Their Batman the Animated Series set is awesome.
Oh yeah. That's pretty cool. But once again, it's like Knight Models falls under the big problem for me of why do all of the minis, like all of the minis have to be painted like they look on screen. And that bothers me slightly.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. You want to do the thing. Although it does appear that this, I'm looking at this now, it does look like this is rustic.
It does, doesn't it? I don't remember seeing what it specifically says. I didn't go too deep into it, but the rustic would be better than the metal. Let me tell you that, because the Knight Models metals are horrible to put together. And we talked about that on the last cast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But anyway, I should buy it. The euro is fairly cheap against the dollar, or is weak against, and the dollar is stronger against the euro than it's been in a long time. So
you can finally get your Dursley's miniatures.
Oh God. I want a Mr. Dursley jerk off figure. I want to
crank it on Rita Skeeter.
Who would name it? Miranda Richardson.
Because her name is Skeeter.
It's Miranda something or other.
And as we all know, skeeting is slang for nutting.
Yes. So if you travel back in time to 2006, you'd be on top of it, Steve.
See? All I'm saying is I'm going to nut on that figure.
Yeah. Listen.
Listen, buddy.
All I want is a Blackadder Series 3 Queedy figure that I can jerk off onto.
Blackadder. Oh shit.
That's who that Miranda, whatever her name is, that she played Queenie, and I think it was either the second or third series. I don't remember. It was one of those two. I think it was the second series of Blackadder. I don't quite remember. But anywho, if you want to correct me on my British television, which I know all British people want to, you could go ahead and do it on the Discord.
Yeah.
So you can find the links on our Facebook page. It's usually posted underneath there, or you can, I don't know what would be another easy way, or you could find my Instagram, Game Classy Joe. You could message me there.
Someone's going to shove that Horace Slughorn up their ass.
Oh. It does have a flanged base, so it's good for that.
These are all just oddly shaped. These are just oddly shaped butt plugs.
These all are just like the Death Eater models are definitely butt plugs.
That's right.
So let's talk. We got next week is Adepticon, and we won't be recording that weekend. We'll be recording the weekend after. Mm-hmm. So Games Workshop's going to do their big reveal, which will be AOS 4th edition.
Yes.
I don't know if you've heard much about it. I know all the leaks are already out there, all the rule books. Some of the sprues have been leaked. What we do know is that Skaven are getting a re-up. I don't know if they'll be in the box set. The rumor is they will be in the box set. And that little teaser that they did about Sigmar Lied definitely implies Skaven will be in the box set.
Yeah, I don't know what you've heard, but the biggest rumor I'm hearing is that it's going to be Cities of Sigmar versus Skaven in the box set.
Ooh, that's interesting.
That's what I heard. So,
yeah.
If it happens, you heard it here, folks. If you didn't, I was lied to.
Yeah. I find that funny that they wouldn't be putting Sigmarines in there, because those have been the traditional good guy.
Ah, there's still going to be a unit of Stormcast.
Okay, that makes sense. If they do Stormcast and some Cities of Sigmar guys, I think that would be more interesting to do.
That's the rumor. So
yeah, and that leads to basically. So, excuse me. Why weren't the Skaven in the old world release? Well, this is the reason, is because Games Workshop didn't want people to double dip
from the old world.
Yeah. Which to me, I don't understand, but this is, so Steve, this is my way of mentally figuring it out. So you remember how I always complained that War Machines and Hordes were two separate games and should have been considered together as one unit?
Yes.
And if War Machines and Hordes at the time of their popularity were considered one game, they would probably have been the top selling miniatures game at that time.
Yes, because I mean they were spot 2 and 3 very consistently under 40K. So
if they had been combined together, they probably would have beat 40K.
Probably. I can't say that definitively, but I will say probably.
So if Games Workshop is legit looking at the sales for their games as individuals, they wouldn't want to double dip and split the sales for, let's say, Age of Sigmar. Like if Age of Sigmar was putting out the new Skaven, right? And the old world was double dipping on that. They don't want the sales of the Skaven splitting. They want to show that Age of Sigmar is a healthy game that's selling figures.
Right.
So I think that's the legit reason of why that is happening.
I mean, maybe. That's such a weird and archaic way of thinking. That would make sense for Games Workshop, I guess.
Yeah. So they say, like, we're not releasing any figures for the old world, for Skaven, for the old world. But we have plenty of Skaven figures in Age of Sigmar that you can use. They don't say it like that. They're just saying, we're not supporting the Skaven, period, for the old world.
Mm.
And you do with that what you want. So it's weird how they're saying that. And apparently, I'm not 100% positive on this, but I have heard there is an embargo, a strong embargo, on the old world using any figures from Age of Sigmar. So, like, in the design studio, they specifically say you are not allowed to use bits or figures from Age of Sigmar in any old world studio minis or reports or battle videos, battle report videos, any of that. You're not allowed to use anything. So, remember how that was the on a for Lord of the Rings. They had the same thing. You were not allowed to use any bits from Lord of the Rings in the Warhammer Fantasy battles.
Yes.
Which I thought was weird, but hey, but that was licensing stuff. You know, when you got New Line, you can't, like, there's probably like real legit things that you can and can't.
Oh, that's do. Actually, you know, that is a point that I didn't even consider with Lord of the Rings. But yeah, no, that makes sense.
Yeah. So there might, that's what I considered on that. But that's what I'm thinking with the old world, is that they don't want any sort of cross sales contamination ruining their numbers for their game. Because if Age of Sigmar looks like it's not selling as well as they intended to sell, that could screw up some sort of line go up.
Yeah, maybe. It could be something like that.
Yeah. So that's the big reveal. They're going to do the Age of Sigmar box set for 4th edition, which will probably come out in the summer. They're doing a re-up of the Ossiarch Bone Reapers. That's a truth, hashtag truth. They're doing
the
that
Bone
one.
Bone Reapers.
Yeah. So if you can extrapolate from what they were talking about with the old world and Age of Sigmar, this new edition is going to have new Dark Elves, finally. So they're going to have some Dark Elf figures. And they're probably going to redo, what I heard is they're redoing Beasts of Chaos. So all the Beasts of Chaos models are getting redone for Age of Sigmar. So Age of Sigmar is going to have all new Beastman sculpts, while the old world will have all the old Beastman sculpts.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I know a lot of people that are using the newer Chaos models for Age of Sigmar, and they look fantastic. They're a little big, but they look fantastic. I will have to say, in putting together a bunch of stuff for Age of the old world, I really like the new bigger bases, Steve. I really like them.
Oh, they're absolutely. Absolutely. I knew they were going to be the best idea ever because I played with Black Orcs in Fantasy.
I mean, in putting together this Bretonnian army I'm working on, the fact that the models actually fit together in a unit is so fucking nice.
I thought the cav bases are the same size.
No, 30 mils.
Oh, nice.
30 by 60 as opposed to the 25 by 50.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, it's very nice. Very nice indeed. And it's... I'm very happy that they did it that way. I do have to say, a slight review on the Bretonnians. I picked up the new Knights on Foot. So I was like, Tim, could you pick me up some boxes of the Knights during the pre-order? I'll pick them up at your store. And he's like, yeah, sure, no problem. He's like, do you want the Knights on Foot? And I was like, yeah, give me a box. And I didn't realize that it's a 20-man unit, so I paid a lot of money for that box set. But I was like, oh, it's fine. It's like, I'm kind of glad I did. But those models don't really fit the aesthetic that the 6th edition models have.
Oh, yeah. Do they look
They're cool. They're really cool looking, but they definitely look like we are a brand new 2024 sculpt going up against the 2006 sculpt.
I see.
Yeah, it's... they are definitely fancier and better looking and better casted and better sculpted. And it's just that they look infinitely better.
Okay.
Which is a problem. Also, if anybody could help me out on our Discord, you can shoot me a chat in the Warhammer sub Discord or whatever it's called, the Discord channel. Should I go with the hand weapon shield, great weapon shield, or just great weapon options? Because I will say I am really stumped on what they should do in my army, the Knights on Foot.
I would use great weapons, but...
I kind of think in that, too. It's just that, do I do great weapons and shields or just great weapons? Because the shields are going to... They do add to the armor save. I would go from a 5-up to a 4-up armor save.
Can you carry great weapons and shields?
You can carry the great weapons and shields, but I can't use both in combat.
Right. But being able to carry both is huge, because you can choose... Ah, that's pretty good. I mean, that's gonna make them a pretty big point sink. But man, they could just be beefy enough for that where that doesn't matter.
I think if you do the great weapons and shields, it's 2 extra points, which is not a ton, or maybe it's 3 extra points. So you go from like 12 to 15 points, and a knight errant is only 19 points.
Yeah, that's a huge difference because being able to have the versatility to not use your great weapon when you are charged and instead use a shield, it's just so huge.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of like,
because you have a unit that's that can be both hammer and anvil.
Yeah, very true. So I mean, I probably will do the great weapon because they look cooler.
I think it's about you.
I mean, that's like
it looks cooler and it's better.
Yeah, I really think it's just I really wanted to do the big axes because they look really cool, but I didn't want someone going, "You put great axes on your knights on foot, you fool!
you idiot! You imbecile!
You fucking idiot!
You absolute buffoon!
We don't waste your money.
You're clearly a fool.
Clearly. Yeah. So I will be picking those up today. So I'm kind of excited about that.
Nice.
Yeah. I also didn't know that the Knights of the Realm when I pre-ordered were units of 12. I thought they were units of 8 again, like the old boxes. So I was like, oh yeah, I'll take 2 boxes of those. And he's like, oh, okay, yeah, no problem. So now I'm getting 24 instead of the 16 I thought I was getting. That's not a big deal. I mean, I can always use them.
Can always use extra knights.
I always use the extra knights. I was actually thinking about using some of the leftover bits from the great from the knights on foot for those because the bits are cool and apparently they can be used.
That would be sweet.
Yeah. All right. Also, the big rumor I'm hearing for the Adepticon preview is Battlefleet Gothic is getting a re-release, splash release.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's remember how at the one they did like the tease for Epic, I think it was maybe last year at Adepticon.
Yeah.
They did the tease for Epic and everyone was like, oh, they're redoing Epic. And then the game gets launched 6 months late. So now they're going to be doing a preview for Battlefleet Gothic, and it's going to be under the Horus Heresy logo. So it's only going to be Marines versus Marines and maybe Imperials, which makes sense. That should be, because I will tell you what, any game where the two starting sets can be used for the same army is going to sell way more than a game that you have two separate armies for.
It's true. That is 100% factual.
You know, we talk about the greatest starter boxes of all times and Island of Blood, Battle for Skull Pass, both get like A pluses in our opinion.
Yeah, super, super good.
Yeah, I might even say that I would get I don't know. OK, and then you have the Horus Heresy box set, which I would say is an S tier box set for $300. You get everything that you literally need to create a whole army for, with maybe having to spend a little bit more just to get a couple extra things, but it is one of the greatest starter boxes of all time. It's S tier.
Mm-hmm.
And then those two fantasy ones are probably, you know, A tier. Some of the 40K ones you could say are B tier. I don't know about any F tier ones, but I think they do exist.
There's probably one or two out there, but not that I can think of off the top of my head.
Yeah, not that I could think of off the top of my head, but it's definitely. Oh, you know what's a great A tier box set starter box? The Mordheim box set.
Oh, that's a good box. That was a
great box set.
Yeah,
Battle of Five Armies would probably be an S tier.
Yeah, that's a really good one too.
But that one shouldn't count because it's not really a starter box so much as just a game in a box.
True. Yes, we cannot. Yes, I agree. We can't count that.
Yes, Dreadfleet, I would say, was originally on release maybe a C tier, but upon reevaluation, it's more of a B tier box set. It was C tier because it didn't give us what we wanted. Maybe even D tier. It was a D, maybe F tier because it was a huge disappointment.
Yeah, no. In terms of it overall, like the overall score, I would say it's D tier, just overall. That's combining, because like the bot, like if you just graded on minis and components, obviously that's fantastic. But if you immediately, or if you go to any other metric of a game, immediately you're like, because the gameplay was really bad.
I would say that's why I'm saying it's boosting up to a C tier, because the gameplay I don't think is as bad as everyone thinks. It's bad. That's why I'm saying it's a C tier game. Because the components lifted up from a D tier to a C tier.
Yeah, I was not the. I am not that charitable on this one. I thought the game was miserable. I was very. That was probably one of my biggest GW disappointments.
Yeah. I'm trying to think like of like, you know what's an actual bad release from them, like a mainstream release from them, was the Dark Angels Army box that they did. I think it was for like 5th and 6th edition. That box set was useless on every level.
I don't remember that one, but I'll believe you.
Yeah. I just neither of them were good arm. Oh, you know what's another like low tier release? Age of Sigmar, the Soul, the second edition box set. Soul Wars.
Oh yes, you mentioned that one, and I didn't. You actually informed me on this one because I didn't know a bunch of the facts about it.
Yeah, none of the stuff that they released were ever an actual usable unit in the game.
all the unit sizes were fucked up.
Yes, and it was, you had to buy multiples to get even close to the right, and then all of the units that were in there, not good. Except for the Ballista. The Ballista was good.
Yeah,
Ballista. And the soul, the ghosty boys, if you got enough of them, they were useful. But you had to have like a unit of like 60 for it to be useful.
Yeah, you also did get way more than you got in the box.
Yeah. Like, so that was definitely a weak, almost. I would say that's close to D tier.
Yeah, I agree.
I might even go F tier just because of like, and the response to it too, like, oh yeah, you can't use those as legal units. Like that was just their response.
That's pretty bad.
Like, will you be considering and that was one of the things, is like, would you consider releasing a box of like supplements that you could bring them up to legal units? And they're like, no. I was like, okay, well, fuck you. And then they did the Indomitus release box set. Remember the Space Marines versus the Tyranid box set?
Yes.
And everyone was like, or what? Not the Tyranids. Was it the Necrons? It was Space Marines versus the Necrons. And they'll remember how that sold out everywhere.
Oh yeah, yeah. Everyone's super hyped for that one.
Yeah, and they were like, we can't get it. And they're like, okay, well, we're releasing the 3rd edition of the Age of Sigmar box set. Trust me, you guys will be able to get this. And then they've had them in perpetuity.
They have like, had them forever.
They have had them forever. That was like a limited splash release, and they never went through the stock of it. Oh, good times. We should set up a cast where we talk about the tiers of the box releases. I'd have to figure out a definitive box set release. Starter set release.
We should do that. We should do a starter set review for all the starter sets for every game we've ever played.
For every game. Clan War, awesome starter set. All metal.
Yeah, we know we should do that for any starter set here's the rules. We have to review the games of starter sets of games we played when they were alive. So
when
like
they were alive. Okay.
When they were alive. So for example, like I couldn't review like the Clan War one because I never had that starter set when it was a game that was, you know, in existence, in print.
But did you know the rules, most of the rules of Clan War?
It's been too long. I would get, if you like quizzed me, I would probably get them quite wrong. But I did play it when it was newer. So
what about Warzone? Did you play Warzone?
I never played Warzone. I played the Siege of the Citadel. That was my game from that company.
Yeah, different rule set altogether.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Oh man. But anyway. So Battlefleet Gothic was another starter set that was actually, when it was released, was a great starter set, even though it was Imperials versus Chaos.
Yes. Yes. But it was very cool starter set.
Very cool starter set. The game was decent for a 2/2 boat game, but of course it got ruined when it got taken over by not Forge World, but what was the company that was doing like specialist games?
Specialist games.
Yeah. So when specialist games took over, it kind of got ruined. And of course, people are already like in the rumor mill going, I hope they're releasing Eldar for it. I hope they're doing Necrons. It's like, they're not, you jackass idiots. You stupid fucks. They're not doing that. What do you feel about that? You're just going to go on Facebook and complain about it, aren't you? Aren't you?
Yes.
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 Nerds. Aside from that. All right. So that's most of. Oh, you know what else is going to be at Adepticon, Steve? And we could talk about this. Do you know?
No. What?
BattleTech pods closing.
Pods.
They're bringing the Adepticon, and they're bringing the classic BattleTech pods to Adepticon.
Nice.
God, those things are the insides hoseable? Because I know you say that they haven't updated the hardware, or no, you said they have updated the hardware in the
The hardware's been updated,
but the software is not updated.
Yeah, the software is the farthest thing that has gone without update the longest.
It looks like the graphics from the Money for Nothing video by the Dire Straits.
Yes.
MDV. Money for nothing and your chicks for free. That song, problematic. Got some bad language in it that we don't use anymore.
It has a slur in it.
It does have a slur in it. But which is a shame because I love the Dire Straits.
That's okay. I can say it. I'm allowed.
You're allowed. But we're not going to say it on the podcast.
That's true.
You can go ahead if you'd like. So the so they're having the BattleTech pods, and people are excited for some odd. I don't know why people still get excited about these pods.
They're, you know why? Because they're fun.
I guess they're just expensive.
They're expensive, but they're fun. It's fun. Like going in and, you know, burning like 20 minutes in the BattleTech pods is just fucking fun.
I guess, but it's like most of the time I'm sitting there going, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing. I press a button and my BattleTech explodes.
You're role playing as a prison conscript in like an urban mech.
It's gotta be. Like, pick your mech. It's the one with the big squares on the top or the big squares on the bottom.
Ooh, big squares on the bottom today. How gauche.
Oh gosh. So I'm entered into there and I'm just playing Money for Nothing in my head as I'm playing the game. It's like, it's like, these aren't Money for Nothing. I paid a lot of money to do this for 5 minutes and I just explode. It's like, okay. So I'm in the pod. I'm going to move forward and I press the move forward button. And they're like, mech overheated. I'm like, God damn it.
That's good. Yeah, no, I like that.
18-year-old me was very, very pissed off the first time I played the BattleTech pods.
Oh, man, BattleTech pods are cool.
Yes, BattleTech pods are cool. How much is it to play an hour? $300.
All right, let me get my credit card.
Let me get my credit card. It's the one with Naruto on it.
It's a custom job.
Yes. So yeah, Adepticon will be next weekend. I will be there. I'll be playing games on Thursday night and Saturday. I'm not playing anything on Friday. I'm kind of using that as my day to kind of wander around and, you know, buy shit, hang out. So if you see an overweight redhead with glasses and a beard, just say, "Are you Joe?" And eventually you'll get it right.
Yeah, just make sure you don't lose your position and backtrack, because if you go back to the front of the convention, you're going to just start all over again.
Never go back to front. You're going to get an infection that way. That was so stupid. I apologize.
That was funny.
So I'll be playing in the Horus Heresy room on both those days. I will be checking out the Old World. They do have a small, I don't want to say tournament or anything like that, but I'm hoping that the Old World at Adepticon next year is not run by James Workshop himself. Yeah, James Workshop himself, because I would like it if it was more like narrative based, kind of how they do the Horus Heresy one, where it's like, okay, we're doing this. And it's not competitive. It's not a tournament. It's more just like rolling against people and who's got prettier armies and stuff like that. And I think that would be more fun.
I mean, I do think the narrative, I read about that narrative 40K event, and that definitely sounded like way more fun than any tournament I've ever played in. So,
yeah, I mean, the Horus Heresy one is super duper fun, and it's very low stakes. Because all of the old words are more like, you know, they're very subjective.
Right.
It's all soft scores.
Yeah. Making the awards, you just make the awards completely based on soft scores. So like the game doesn't matter. It's just fun.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's more interesting than anything else. Mm-hmm. All right. And so finally, last thing I wanted to talk about with today is I wanted to give a review of a couple. Wait, is there anything that I said I wanted to talk about that I missed?
Let me check the records while you talk about what you're going to talk about, and I'll check the records on your notes.
So, Steve, I just recently got into buying 3D and got into 3D prints. He's been interested in it for a while, and now he finally got his Tomb Kings army. And I know a lot of people are bitching and moaning that they can't get the prints for the old world. And in the old world, you know, 90% of the stuff that's there is unavailable. And the stuff that is available is always sold out. So the only stuff that you can really buy right now is for Bretonians or Tomb Kings. And maybe some stuff for Age of Sigmar, if you're able to get a hold of it. If your game store has old copies of stuff, you can get that. But otherwise, it's near impossible to get stuff. So I wanted to start going over some alternative models for Age of Sigmar, breaking it down by army. Mm-hmm. So this one, I'm going to talk about Bretonians because I am playing Bretonians. And so I've researched this a little bit more. Next cast, I want to do Tomb Kings. And we could talk about that. But I did want to talk about a couple companies that are putting out 3D proxies for Bretonians. And, you know, you could pick whatever you want, but I'm going to give you my picks. And what I would say is probably your best bet if you either want to buy or print your own for Bretonia. And most Bretonian players, they have like one or two that they absolutely, they all do Highlands miniatures.
Right.
So Highlands miniatures is the one that Steve got for his Tomb Kings.
Yeah, they're fantastic. I'm very satisfied. I also went with the 28 millimeter, not the 32 millimeter. So I went with the smaller scale. Well, quote unquote, smaller scale. And I highly recommend them. I think they're great.
Yeah, so with the I just wanted to say Highland has great proxies. I don't think they're the best proxies, but I think that they are super duper adequate. And by that I mean, like, if I had to tier them, I would tier them as an A tier. They have everything that you need. They're all consistent in how they look. They print well.
They very much look like Games Workshop.
Well, that's where I think that they do fall apart, is I don't think that they really look like Games Workshop stuff.
Well, the Tomb Kings ones do. I don't know about the other ones.
Well, yeah, they're skeletons. There's Egyptian skeletons. It's not that. And actually, I don't think that they look that great to it. And I'll get to that when we talk about the Tomb Kings. I do think that they look nice. They have a very Bretonian feel to them. They have a Bretonian mouth feel that I think works really well. So they're called Gallia, G-A-L-L-I-A. So you can look it up on My Mini Factory. You can look up all their stuff. Really solid picks. That was what I would always say is my first recommendation. And that's what most people's recommendation for is the Highlands miniatures. The next most common, I would say, is Lost Kingdom. Their stuff is a lot thinner, but they do have a near full range of Bretonian figures under the headline of Kingdom of Mercia. So you could see those. They have their own website, Lost Kingdom. You could check out most of that. They have some really cool alternative sculpts. They have a very, very cool bombard if you want to do that for the newer, the old world guys. They have pretty much everything that you're looking for. The difference between the Highland and the Lost Kingdom is a lot more proportional. They're a lot thinner than the Highlands. Highlands got a lot thicker, more heroic scale. So the Kingdom of Mercia stuff is going to look a lot more realistic, but it looks further away from the Games Workshop Bretonian stuff. So keep that in mind. Some other ones, Empire Minis. They're an interesting faction. I think that they do look a lot chunkier and they look a lot similar to the GW stuff. Not quite as much as my winner, but they're definitely an interesting one to look up if you're looking for stuff to blend in with your actual Bretonian 28 millimeter stuff from Games Workshop. And I think that their Knights of the Realm on foot look a lot more appropriate as opposed to Highlands. All right. Then I also have one of our favorites, Titan Forge, has theirs, Kingdom of Equitaine. Their stuff, I think, looks fantastic, but doesn't look anything like real Bretonian stuff. So keep that in mind if you get their stuff. they have everything that you need, but it doesn't look like Games Workshop stuff. It won't blend. You have to have a full Kingdom of Equitaine army. It's not something that you can mix and match.
Right, right, right.
But there's stuff. Yeah, go ahead. What
I was saying is that because you'd mentioned that you wanted to talk about 3D guys hamstringing themselves with something, with being too creative.
Oh yeah, and that's kind of what it is. Is like they go like these designers, they go too crazy with their designs, which means that like if I wanted to do Kingdom of Equity, and if I wanted to get a Bretonian figure, like a hero figure, I have to like really, if I want it to blend in with my army, I have to think about which ones I'm getting.
Yeah, because you'll get sore thumb syndrome if you buy the Kingdom of Equitaine guy, because he just looks so different.
Yeah, he looks so different. And it's like, it's definitely like it stands out. I can't take it to a store and use that. And it's like a lot of other stuff, too. It's like I see some Dark Elf stuff, which looks fantastic, but it's so different than what Games Workshop does. That it's like, I can't blend it in, and it's so different than what anyone else does that it's like, I can't mix and match units if I want to. Like, I have to use that whole army. And so for me personally, I want stuff that looks a little bit more GW-ish because that's just the style I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be like a one-for-one, but it definitely needs to look a little closer.
Right.
Yes, that's definitely one of the things. And then there's my winner, which is actually Monstrous Encounters. Monstrous Encounters is kind of flies under the radar for a lot of the stuff, but they do very, very classic fifth ed stuff for fantasy. So all of their fantasy stuff looks pre-fifth, sixth edition. But their Bretonnia figures, the Kingdom of Mercy, the Breton army, has a very, very GW feel to it.
I'm looking at them now. Yeah, they certainly do.
They're like, so their spearmen and their archers look like fifth edition stuff, a little bit more stylized fifth edition, but their knights look like the knights that were released for sixth edition. And I've printed them and they're a nearly one for one match. So if I want to use bits from this army, I can without issue. Like if I bought some like Bretonnian knight, the Pegasus knights, and I was missing the wings, I could easily use the wings from these guys and it's a match.
Nice.
If that makes sense. So this is like a really good match for that.
Oh, they've got a hero. Holy shit. They're okay.
Hero figure.
At the Hero Quest. Yes. I just got to the Hero Quest section.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So Hero Quest, they have what Hasbro's Hero Quest should have been.
Yep. 100%.
They literally have what Hasbro's Hero Quest should have been. So all of the models are clearly inspired by the old fifth edition, but they are still done with a little bit more of a modern technique. Holy shit, they're so good. fuck, they're awesome.
Yeah, and I will say on top of that too, the bits are all great. They can be used. So like their Chaos Warriors are fantastic proxies for Chaos. Same thing with their Night Goblins. They're undead. My entire Vampire Counts army is pretty much from their range. But for Bretonnians, I think out of all of the Bretonnians out there, if you're looking for something to add in to your already existing 6-ed army, so if you have a bunch of, like, let's say your store, you bought the big box set and you're looking for stuff that matches that box set because you can't get their questing knights from GW. You can't get the Grail Knights. I would say go look at their stuff because their stuff will match in pretty well with the exception of the peasants, but you get peasants in that army box anyway, so you don't have to worry about it. So yeah, they're questing knights, they're Grail Knights, all of that stuff works out really well. So check it out.
I literally never heard of these guys before, but man, they're good. That's a Kino pick.
It's a Kino pick. There you go. I would say it's not S tier. It's an A tier army. I don't think I would consider anything to be S tier for Bretonnians. There's nothing where I'm like, this is obviously better than the GW stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'd say that they're A tier. Highlands is A tier. Probably Lost Kingdom is B tier. Some of them, Empire Miniatures is B tier, maybe C tier. Raven's Twin is another one. I didn't mention them. They have some Bretonnian stuff, but I would say that's probably like B, C tier. mm-hmm. Titan Forge, B tier. B because they're really, really, really good sculpts, but they should be C tier in terms of like matching up with Games Workshop.
But they do they do just work straight as straight out armies on their own, which is awesome.
They do work. Every one of them works as a straight up army on their own. So keep that in mind. When these all kind of popped up because Games Workshop just never supported the Bretonians from when they were initially released to now. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
it's hard to believe, but the Knights on Foot are the first new Bretonian figures that have been released since 2006.
That's so wild.
I think it was 2006 was the last release, but and which sounds about right. Anyway, do we have anything else that we need to talk about?
No, I think that's it.
All right. So go to the Game Classy Facebook page. It's the best way to find a link to it, the Game Classy Discord, where we have all the Discord channels where we talk about all the things, all of them. We also got a shout out that we didn't talk about Star Trek on the last episode. So this is me mentioning Star Trek so we could talk about Star Trek this episode. We were John DeLancey did a voice on a cartoon I'm watching recently, and I was like, whose voice is that? Wait a minute, that's Q.
It's Q.
And it wasn't My Little Pony. I know he did a voice on My Little Pony, but it was the new Masters of the Universe cartoon. So keep that just up there. And also, Picard is getting a lot of nominations with all of the awards this year. So
Jean-Luc Picard.
I saw something recently where it was Jean-Luc Picard is a high functioning alcoholic, and I thought that was really funny.
That is really funny.
I mean, because I don't know if you can be a high functioning alcoholic in the new Star Trek universe, or in the Star Trek universe, not the new Star Trek universe.
I would imagine they just can fix chemical dependency.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think it's like he can, like, and everything is just synthahol anyway. And I know he has a vineyard which produces real wine, but I'm sure that like there's got to be some sort of drug that just turns real wine into synthahol in your.
Well, you can get drunk on synthahol if you drink enough.
Yeah, but there's no side effects.
Yes.
That's the difference with synthahol is like there's no hangover. There's no like dependency.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's our Star Trek talk for today.
Yeah.
Have fun with it. If you want to help out the podcast, you can like, comment, subscribe on the iTunes, and you can like, comment, subscribe on the YouTubes. That's the places where we put them up. You can also, if you want to see more of my miniatures or get in contact with me, you could see me on Instagram at Game Classy Joe. I'm pointing up pictures of Bretonians. Bretonians. I'm doing old school. I know I got called out on not putting heraldry on my actual errands, but my errands have not earned their heraldry yet. They have to earn it. I believe that was fifth edition where they did that, but I'm not 100% sure. Because I know they didn't actually have Knights Errant in 5th edition.
No, they did not.
But I think I remember reading about that somewhere. It's like they had to earn their heraldry.
That could have been. Oh, that was probably in the Storm of Chaos, the Knights Errant army.
It could be. Could be. I don't remember where I remember reading that, but I remember reading that. If I didn't, so what? This is the lore of my army. It's my army's lore. It's
my army. I make up the lore.
Yes. And lore was played by the same guy who played Data.
Oh.
Star Trek talk.
Welcome back to Trek Talk.
Talking Trek. It's a sister podcast to Just One More Thing, my Columbo podcast.
God, the Columbo podcast.
Well, I was laughing about it because I started watching Curb, right? We're marathoning Curb.
Mm-hmm.
Not marathoning. We watched just an episode a week. But my friend was like, yeah, I'm rewatching it too because the guy who plays his manager is doing a rewatch of it with a podcast. And I'm like, yeah, it's because he got kicked off his last show for sexual harassment. As I say, these rewatches are just done by people who can't get real jobs. Actors right. who can't get jobs nowadays. So they go out and they do a podcast and they get support money from Bombas Socks.
Yes.
So, yes, you could find me on Instagram at Game Classic Joe. You could follow Steve on Blue Sky or at Command Throw.
It's true. I'm there.
Be warned, lots of anime porn.
Holes and holes, baby.
Holes. So many holes. And so until next time, Steve.
Once men turned their thinking over to machines in the hope that this would set them free, but that only permitted other men with machines to enslave them.
What's that from?
And it's from Dune.
Oh, it's from Dune. Oh, nice.
It's from Dune.
Did you see Dune 2?
I have not yet, but I will.
I watched it. I liked it. I was not high enough for it, but
I will watch it as soon as it comes to streaming.
Yes. Speaking of, remember last cast I mentioned a house that Jack built? It's on Tubi right now. So if you want to watch that.
Oh, nice. I'll have to check that out.
All right. Later.
All right. Later.
Game Classy.